You are listening to the Expat Talks podcast by Foreigners Agency. In this podcast, Andrea, the CEO of Foreigners, interviews expats living in the Czech Republic, talking about challenges, experiences, and life obstacles they met during or after their relocation. Stay tuned and enjoy the podcast.
Hi guys! I would like to welcome you here at another Expat Talk, today with Rodney Hippoly. And Rodney was born in England and raised in Commonwealth Dominica. He lives in the Czech Republic for a little bit more than 1 year in Domek. And he's a currency trader and used to be a champion in powerlifting, and also he used to be a fitness trainer. Rodney, welcome.
Thank you for inviting me.
Thank you for coming. So I have like usual question. Yeah. Tell me the story. How did you end up in Brno?
My aim was actually to go to Cyprus.
Oh, really?
And someone in London said to me, oh, why don't you try Brno? I thought Cyprus, then I thought Prague. And they said, why don't you try Brno? You know, so I thought, okay, I'll try Brno. And usually I would stay in a hotel or I'd stay in an apartment. And they said, why don't you try this place I saw on the internet called Domek? There's lots of other traders there. So I thought, wow, I'm gonna be mixing with other traders. You know, it's nice. It's a lonely career. And when I got there, there weren't any traders.
We don't have any traders in Domek.
Yeah. So lots of individuals studying, you know, to become doctors, engineers, and individuals traveling from other countries, obviously, to work. So at first, you know, I was a bit disappointed, but once I got going and talking to them and finding out about what they're doing here, yeah, it grew on me, and yeah, I really like it now.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice, it's awesome. And who was this guy who told you about Brno? How did he know?
It wasn't a guy, it was a girl actually.
It was a girl, okay.
Nicole, I'm going to shout her out. Yeah,
so she's following us.
So she said to me, you know, why don't you try Brno? But ideally it was Cyprus I wanted to go to. So I took her word for it, obviously, you know, and a few others and came.
It's quite a difference, Cyprus or Brno.
Well, the heat is in Cyprus, obviously.
Yeah, and the sea.
Yeah, that's right. But Brno, I mean, it's still nice. A lot smaller town than Prague, obviously, but it's still nice.
Yeah, so you're enjoying.
Yes, definitely.
Okay, great. And how is your life in Domek? You told me that you were pretty satisfied. So
yeah, I mean, Domek is different. It's not like you're staying in an apartment on your own and then you've got to go out and meet people, etc. You know, Domek is, I think, built for people that want to socialize or don't want to socialize. Mix and match different age groups. It's not just, you know, individuals from 19 and it stops at 20. I've seen people there at the age of 50, 60 plus, you know.
Yeah.
So it's a nice diversity of people there, which I really enjoy. If you want to socialize, you go down and socialize, and if not, you know, you stay in your apartment and do what you're doing.
Yeah.
But it's really nice. I do enjoy it.
Yeah. There are about 200 people in Domek. So how many do you think you know now?
I am very sociable, you know, even the workmen, when I'm off to the gym or going to the centre, they're like, you know, I am sociable, I go out my way and I meet people, I think that's the best way to be.
Yeah.
So out of the 200 there, I would say 60% probably.
Nice.
That's Rodney, you know, yeah.
Yeah, that's so cool, so you have many friends, right?
I've met a lot of people here, yes.
And do you have any Czech friends? Because most of the people in Domek are foreigners.
Well, I did meet two people, unbelievable, from Southall, London. I'm like, wow, they're looking at me going, wow. You know, so, I met some people from Southall in London. Some individuals from Ukraine, some from Albania, Italy. I mean, the list goes on, the amount of people that are there. So it's great to meet new people and just talk to them.
And do you have any Czech friends?
Just the one, which is in London.
Ah, okay. So here in Brno, you haven't met any?
Oh, I've met many in the gym, obviously. We've gone out before, we've gone out and had drinks and so on and so forth and socialised. But it's not every day or every weekend. I think I'm a bit old to be. staggering back. I think the last time I went out, and I turned up at Bruno at Domecq, which I shouldn't do too often, and I'm on the third floor, and I walked up the steps as I usually do. I don't take the lift, and I put the key in the door, and the door wouldn't open. I just kept jiggling it, and I was swearing, and suddenly the door opened from the inside.
And there was somebody else.
And he said, "What are you doing? This is the fourth floor." So, no more drinking.
I understand what happened. Was it because of the cheap Czech beer?
I think, yeah. I just don't know where to stop.
I understand that. In the last years, you are moving from country to country a lot.
Yeah, right? I had a bit of a break. The longest I spent was 3 years in London, but before then, Cyprus, been to Delhi, Australia, right. South Africa, Germany, Budapest. I mean, the list does go on. So I do enjoy traveling.
Yeah.
The longest I stayed, as I said, in London was the 3 years, due to someone who was ill. And it's just good to be back doing that. I don't know how long I last for. I'm getting old now. but yeah, traveling's good.
Nice.
Opens up your eyes.
And so it means that you're kind of used to relocation, because some of the people we have in the Czech Republic is their first time when they move from their own country to another country and to Czech Republic, so they have really like some culture shocks and this stuff. So can you say that you already got used to this, or was there really something which was like, wow, where am I?
No, I think, you know what I think? I think, Andrea, it's a case of one's personality. Some individuals are very coy and they're shy, they're within themselves. You know, I don't need a group of individuals to actually go out.
Mm-hmm.
I do and I have done where I've packed my bags, rucksack on the back, found a nice bar, and by the time I've left, I've made like 9-10 contacts. That's
nice.
Just me. So
yeah.
I think it depends on the individual, the individual personality.
Yeah. So did you experience, or I have some question here actually, what happened to you on the first day in Brno?
Well, I needed to get some sheets, I needed to get some pots and pans, I wanted to go out and buy my own stuff, so
yeah.
I spoke to the concierge downstairs. He said, yeah, just grab the 67, it puts you right outside IKEA. That was at 11:30, I thought, great, not a problem, so I jumped on the bus. It did put me to IKEA.
Good.
He said to me, you know, that was at 11:30, he said to me, just get the 67 back and get off, you know, they'll put you right outside Domecq. So I got the 67 at about 12:30 noon, and I ended up in an area which I didn't know where I was. I didn't get back to Domecq till about 8:30, 9 o'clock in the evening.
No.
Only to find out that 67 bus actually put me in the centre of Brno. The health club, next to the health club where I go, and I walk to every day. Not because I've never been to the town, I thought, I'm in a completely different area. So I walked around Bruno saying, Domecq, show them addresses, asking the police officer. Then in the end, it was a police officer that brought me back.
Oh, really?
And we started laughing. Because
wow.
He, you know, he was like saying to me, look, this is how close you are. Are you dumb? You know, he didn't say that. But yeah, that was... That was a long day.
Well, I can imagine. And you were carrying all this stuff from IKEA.
I was carrying all this stuff from IKEA as well. Yeah.
Nice. And so was it the policeman who brought you
back?
Eventually
brought me back to Lidl.
To Lidl.
And then I realized, oh gosh, this is where I was.
Yeah.
You know, but first day you don't know.
But it's nice to hear that the policeman helped you.
Yeah, very friendly. I think a lot of people I bumped into are very friendly. You know, if I'm asking for certain places to go to, yeah, very friendly. Most don't speak English, mainly the older ones.
Yeah.
And the ones that do speak English, when I do ask them, you know, more than Tiamblinski, they blush straight away, especially in the supermarket. But yeah, it's good.
You have a nice energy, so I guess the people you know like really want to
I
help
hope
you.
So, yeah.
So
yeah.
I can tell, it's really cool. So what do you like about Czech Republic in general, after 1 year?
The beer?
good.
The food, which I couldn't finish the first time I was in. I'm a big eater, I love my food, but I've just found it too filling. But I've got used to it now. I'm very accommodating to it now. And most of the people are very friendly.
Yeah.
And if they're not friendly, you know, I do still get a smile from them because I do go out my way.
good.
especially on the buses, if they're staring at me, and I'll give them a wave, and then they wave back. So it's kind of like, as I say, it's down to an individual's personality.
It's not children waving, it's
adults as well. Yes. So it's always good. And I'll always go out my way and say good morning to people. You know, it's a lovely day. You know, they respond back, which is good. Yes. I think it's important when you're in a country to obviously try and adapt, especially with the language.
Mm-hmm.
I think people appreciate that.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't speak it, but he tried. Yeah. Well, double them. Movinti Anglinski, Konik Dostoy.
Yeah. And you have a nice accent.
Yeah, so, you know, you've got to try.
Yeah.
You know, God loves a try, and I always try. You know, I think that's the best way to be.
Yeah, drinking beer helps.
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah.
And you told me that sometimes you're listening to some, like, Czech vocabulary, or what was it?
Yes, I usually go to sleep with it. So I've got it on YouTube and sometimes on my phone. So mm-hmm. I record what I want on mm-hmm. my phone. So when I leave and I'm in a restaurant, obviously I don't know how others foreigners would take it. I don't know how they handle it. But I'll always try to ask for something in the language of whatever country I'm in. So I'll always listen to it first
mm-hmm.
and then call the person and try and, you know, sometimes they have a laugh.
Yeah.
Sometimes they say, I do speak English. So, but it's good to try. Yes,
yeah,
I'll always
yeah.
try. I always carry it with me with my phone.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
And I really can tell that people appreciate when you try
Definitely.
To speak language. It
Definitely.
Brings people together and breaks the the ice. Good. And so do you do this in every country?
Every country I've been to, I always try to communicate or learn what I can. I mean, it's the basics.
Yeah, of course.
I don't believe anything is impossible. I think, you know, some people say, oh, I don't speak that language, so they don't try.
Yeah.
You know, so I'll always try, even if it's a hi or a thank you, or it's a nice day. You know, I choose what I want to say very carefully.
Yeah.
And that's it, really. Someone did come here to, when I did meet someone, I can't remember who it was having a laugh with some guys that I met, and before I started saying Dobre den, they said, oh, just say Krasne. So I did go in the shop and I was saying to guys when I wanted, instead of saying hi, I was saying Krasne. They were looking at me on. And then I found out I'm saying pretty.
Yeah.
Yes. Silly me, isn't it? My name's Rodney. I'm a plonker.
But it's good because sometimes, you know, sometimes...
The guys were looking at me very oddly. You know, the women were smiling. I was like, Krasne, what's he telling me here?
You know, but, it's better if they... have told you something like, you know, vulgar.
Yeah, that's right.
It's a nice word, though.
Yeah, one guy looked up and I said to him, Krasne, you know, he said, come on. Yeah, he spoke English.
Yeah, actually, sometimes the expats or foreigners in general, they are saying that even though they are trying to learn Czech,
mm-hmm.
Very often it happens to them that the people who speak English, they just don't let them kind of speak Czech and practice.
Okay.
Because if you speak English, it's much kind of faster, and you see
that.
How the person is struggling in Czech.
Yes.
And if you speak English, you switch to English because it makes it easier for the person. Yeah, but they'll never learn if.
Yeah, you've got to try.
If they don't practice,
yeah.
Right? So maybe you'll experience this later. And tell me, from all the countries, can you say like which country did you like the most and why?
I think most countries I've gone to. It's difficult to say this is the country that I love the most because each country is unique in its own way. The Czech, beautiful women, brilliant buildings. I love the architecture. Austria is completely different.
Mm-hmm.
Germany is completely, you know, everywhere has their own little personality. And I tend to, wherever I go, wherever I have been, I've never taken pictures. Like, I keep everything stored here.
Mm-hmm.
I never tend to, you know, people go away and they go, oh, you know, selfie with something behind them.
Yeah.
I've always just kept memories in my own mind. And when someone asks me where I've been, I try and explain it because there's nothing like that explanation rather than saying, here's a picture.
Mm-hmm.
You know, words can go on and on and on, can't they?
Yeah, that's true.
But yeah, everywhere's been nice and everywhere's unique.
Yeah. Did you have any experience which was not pleasant in any country as a foreigner?
I've had experiences that were not pleasant in London. As a Londoner. So, you know, here, not too bad. I should be used to it. I mean, when I first came here, I mean, you get stairs. assume because of my color, you know, we're out of Brno, we're out of Prague, we're in Brno. But it, again, it's the way you handle it. If you're used to traveling and you're used to that, you just, it doesn't mean anything, you know.
Do people take pictures with you?
I had one guy as I was walking through, is it Veronica? The precinct.
Okay.
And it was him, he was with a girl, and I was walking, and he just said, oh, you know, selfie, he wanted to take a selfie with me. I thought, why not? You know, so yeah. So that happened, what, once?
Yeah.
But yeah, people just generally, I think they're okay. I found my little spots, I found my little coffee shop, that's my restaurant I'm going to go to.
Oh, nice.
You
know, so tell me, which one?
I turn up to my coffee shop in the precinct, you know, I don't. Before I even go and order, they look at me, you know, they say, flat white.
Nice.
I just go and sit, so they know what I want now.
Where is the place? What is it called?
I'm not sure the name. I don't even want to attempt to pronounce it. But it's in the precinct. Am I saying the correct thing, the precinct?
Precinct? What is it?
The precinct, is it Veronica? Where you have all the beauty shops.
Vankovka. She's Veronica.
Oh, yes, yeah, sure. I've got Veronica on my mind.
And Veronica is the one in Dumaguete.
Yes, that's right.
I get it.
Yeah, so that's one place I go to. There's another place.
And is it the one from the outside? Which you enter from the outside?
No, you go upstairs to first floor.
Okay.
And it's just across from Starbucks.
Okay, yeah, I know that there are some.
They do some nice pasta and nice coffees. And sometimes I go up there and I do my work as well. So,
yeah.
You know, and it's nice just to have those places where people do get to know me.
Yeah.
You know, they see you come in. Oh, there's Rodney, you know. Same table. Do you want a flat white? Yeah.
Oh, you know. Nice. So you do flat white?
Yes, definitely.
Cool. Great, and let's go to what you're doing. You told me that you've had or you used to have many businesses. You always started business and you sold it. So tell me the story.
I mean, I started off with my first health club called Hippos in North Kensington in London.
How old were you?
I started my business at the age of 20.
Okay, cool.
Sold that. For about after a year, 2 years, moved from North Kensington to Chiswick in London. Kept that for about 2 years, sold that. And then I set up a debt collection business.
Mm-hmm.
Sold that to a company, or the ledger, to a company called Provident Personal Credit.
Mm-hmm.
Then I got involved in property. Some properties in London, some properties out of London, Lancashire. And it's just gone on like that. It's just been constant bang on business. It depends again on the individual, but for me, every business I have set up, I've always sold, because for me, it's not about keeping the business for long. Mm-hmm. It's showing it can work, and here you are to someone that wants it, you know, and that's it, moving on. So that was a great experience at a young age.
How did you get to do business? I mean, why didn't you go to get employed?
I believe it's always been in me. All that's written in my book, which I'm writing, which I'm sure we'll come to. But it's always been in me, a young child, to always be the master of my own fate, to always go out there and do what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
I think that came from being in the British team as well, knowing what you can achieve if you put your mind to it.
Mm-hmm.
The traveling I did with them, and one of the coaches I remember, he said, you know, he told me something a long time ago, and he said, you know, whatever you achieve in this, put it towards your everyday life as well.
Mm-hmm.
And when I retired, that's what I started doing. I just put that, what I learned in lifting, into my everyday life.
So was this when you were the champion in the powerlifting? You were in the British team, like national team?
Yes.
For how long have you been doing this?
I started when I was 17 years old.
Oh, wow.
I stopped, what, about 8 years ago, 10 years ago now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So you did it for a long time.
Yes.
And in the meantime, you were...
I still had all the businesses. That's right.
Okay.
I mean, I had staff, 21 people working for me. I wasn't... Well, not at first. I had to do it all myself. But eventually, as it grew, I got to focus more on training and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So...
What would you recommend to people like who want to do their own business? Do you have some kind of advice?
I think never give up. One thing I say to individuals is... He or she who says she can and he or she who says she can't are both usually right. So if you say you can't do it, you can't do it. And if you say you can, go out there and do it. You know, there's stop procrastinating. A lot of people crack the whip and procrastinate and crack the whip and procrastinate, and I feel, oh, boring. Just, you know, follow Nike. Just do it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, come on.
Yeah.
I'm big on positivity and people following their dreams and their passion, irrelevant of the cost. Because, yeah. You know, and don't go after your dream or passion for money. That should be the last thing on your mind. You know, the first priority should be, you know, being free of the hamster wheel of, you know, working for someone else. And, yeah, you know, if you've got a dream, you've got a passion, go after it. With everything you've got, go all in.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So do you think that, because I used to hear, or I can hear like very often from different people, that people who are in sports and, you know, champions or really in the high game, they are usually very good either employees and manager positions, or they are very good in business. So do you think that it's...
I think so, because it comes from discipline, doesn't it? At the end of the day, I mean, to get at the top of your field in a certain sport, whatever it may be, that takes a lot of discipline.
Yeah.
You know, no one came and gave it to you. You had to work for it, you know. In my sport, you know, I bled. You know, there was blood, there was tears, you know, there was pain, there was suffering when I injured myself. You know, so to go all through that, what else is going to hurt me?
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to go all the way. I'm going to open that business, this business, that business. And if I haven't got the cash to do that, I'm going to go and I'm going to borrow this cash from this person. You know, you do what you've got to do.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of people are suffering from fear. Fear, limited vision, lack of self-esteem is holding them back. And sometimes they just need a push. Mm-hmm. You know, I've given a few people a little push and suddenely they're where they want to be. A bit like a car broken down. It just needs that push.
Yeah,
and suddenly it just goes. Some people just need that, you know. And what did it cost? Doesn't cost anything for someone to do that. So I tend to do that a lot with a lot of people that I meet.
Yeah, what do you meet them like?
If I get a hint that they do want to do something else, that inspires me to say, hey, this is my experience, this is what I've been through. Don't give me an excuse.
Yeah.
It is possible.
I know that also you had hard times. You've lost
yeah.
a lot of things. Actually, you've lost it all.
Yes, I've lost businesses. 2008 in the credit crunch.
Was it because of the crisis?
Lots of different things. In Cyprus in 2013, trading again, I lost just under 300,000. Everything I had, came back to London, fiver in my pocket, slept on a park bench for a while, and I had to start all over again. I had good friends around, you know, that would lend me their floor when it got too cold.
You told me that they had to push you to come to their
floor. Yeah, a lot of friends have to, you know, they have to drag me.
Yeah.
I had one friend, Robin, from South Africa, and she'll say, listen, you know, you're bloody coming here, because she knows my state of mind. She
yeah.
knows, okay, this guy, you know, he's so bloody proud. I'm going to come to the park and pick you up, and I'm going to, you know, but that's my state of mind. That's just the proudness that I've always had. But, you know, you get up on your feet and you move on. It's like the boxer that loses a fight. It's like, you know, I speak to one or two of the girls that don't act, and, you know, they've got some hard, difficult exams coming up. And,
yeah.
you know, they talk about, oh, what if I fail? I say, well, you do what you can, right? And she says, yeah, well, that's all that matters. And if it doesn't work out, guess what? You're not dead. You're not completely incapacitated. You go at it again. You know, so that, you know, seeing that smile on her face makes me feel better.
Yeah.
You know, because
yeah.
sometimes that's all it takes for someone to get to the next level.
Yeah. So you're kind of a coach in Dubai now.
I don't know about that.
We have an internal coach in Dubai.
I don't know about that. I'm quite radical. I like to get to the bottom of stuff. You know, some people like to
yeah.
work around things. You know, I like to get straight to the bottom of it. You know, why are you not doing what you say you want to do? You know, let's get to the nitty gritty. That's me. And I tend to plant a seed rather than motivate someone. So
okay.
they give me a little hint of da 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 da, and I just plant a seed and I walk away. And it's up to them now to nurture it or grow it.
Or
know.
Kill it.
Yes, or kill it. Exactly. Stay where you are.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
Oh, that's beautiful, you know. I like people who are empowering people.
Yeah.
Just with their existence. So, well, that's great to hear. Well, actually, my next question was if you like people, because I know that you're helping here, because you just answered, right? I don't know if you want to add something else.
Oh, dear.
But maybe let me ask you, because I know how it is. We have a group of people in the company and we are helping people, and sometimes it's very demanding and it's very tiring sometimes. So how do you deal with this? when it's too much? Does it happen to you?
Very rare. I think it gets too much for others.
Yeah?
Because they see how overpowering I can be, the effort I'm putting into it, you know, all my energies.
Yeah.
So I have to be aware and I have to back down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the morning I'm whistling through Domek and everyone's like, okay, Rodney's here. You know, I'm smiling at everyone. You know, so I'm saying to them, it's a great day, isn't it? Today's a special occasion. And they're like, why? I said, could we woke up this morning? And everyone's like, oh, God. You know.
Do you make them angry?
No. I think they just laugh. I think maybe, I don't know what they think. Maybe they think I'm nuts. I don't know. I think it's based, I can only base it on my experience. And I think that's what's made me who I am today. Maybe if someone did spend 6 months to a year on a park bench, maybe if someone did have something and they lost it, and maybe they would react in that way. I don't know. But, you know, maybe if they travel as much as I did, you know, in Africa to see kids that haven't got shoes and can barely eat for a week, but they still invite you into their home and share their last food. And they may not eat for another 3-4 days. I mean, that's inspiring enough to think, wow, you know, they haven't got a TV, they haven't got Nike, they haven't got Reebok. I mean, these guys, they're still smiling, they've got a smile on their face.
Yeah.
So I suppose when you go around and you see these things, it kind of opens up your mind. I once upon a time, I had wardrobes and wardrobes of clothes and shoes. Now I've got a rucksack. Why do I want a wardrobe and wardrobe of shoes?
Yeah.
You know, I gave that away. I give that to people now. I don't, there's no need for it. When I die, I can't take it with me.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I've got a suit, a shirt, jeans.
And that's it. That's beautiful. Thank you for saying that.
Mm.
Yeah. Something about your work, because now you're a currency trader, right? Maybe can you explain what it is? Like, if you had to explain it to your grandma, how would you put it?
I buy and sell. But instead of coffee, well, you could buy and sell coffee. But instead of coffee, I buy and sell currencies. So the pound versus the yen versus the dollar, Australian dollar against the Japanese yen. You know, so it's not easy. I started this when I had the businesses. So I'm a very old school trader.
Okay.
So for instance, now it's all computerized. Going back a few years, and I don't want to say my age, but...
You can say your age.
Everybody
wants to know.
I mean, if I wanted to buy stocks, I had to call my bank.
Oh, really?
They would take the money out of the account. They would post me a certificate. And if I wanted to sell, I would tell them I want to sell. And then I would have to post. That was how I started trading. And then I realized, well, they're taking a lot of commission. I'm sure I can do this myself. And then computerized trading came along. And self-taught, I just started learning. Made a lot of mistakes. Lost a hell of a lot of money. But it's something I've always done. Yes, I buy and sell currencies. Sometimes gold, silver, the S&P 500, the FTSE 100. That's what I do now.
Okay, so you basically do everything online. So because when we met to discuss what we'll be talking about, I came to the cafe and you had two laptops and one more screen in the middle.
Yeah,
right?
All connected, yeah. So I work with 1, 2, 3 screens. If I brought 4, it'd be too much for coffee shops or whatever.
Yeah, actually, it looked pretty good. I was like, well, that's probably working.
And it's pretty busy and it's pretty stressful as well. I suppose maybe that's why I train so hard as well.
Does it help you to get rid of the stress, you mean?
Yeah, I mean, it's enjoyable. I mean, I'm talking, we have our chat rooms, traders have their chat rooms, so I could be talking to 300-500 traders at one time.
Oh, really?
And we're all chatting away in the chat room. Okay, this is making a move here, this new economic news has come out.
So are there friends? I mean, or you compete?
No, we're not competing, we're all there to help each other, we're all there for a goal,
okay.
To enjoy the passion, enjoy the process, and obviously at the end, yes, make some money if we can. You know, we're trading against the big boys. We're trading against banks, institutions.
Mm-hmm.
We're just retail traders with a small amount, you know, selling or buying $30 a point. These banks, institutions, they're on the millions and billions. We're just trying to catch a hop onto that. And we have our signals and what we use to obviously do that. But it's not easy. It's difficult. Anything you do is difficult. You've got to work for it. You've got to put the work in.
And how do you learn? Like, you learn by making mistakes, right?
You learn by making mistakes. Years ago, as I said, I was self-taught. I started how I started, phoning the banks and so on. I did meet a trader many years ago who got me involved and taught me a little bit more. And then I just took it on from there. Once I sold off most of my businesses, I think that's when I realized, okay, you know, it's not a case of working for someone else, but I want to be free. I want to be an eagle. I want to be the master of my own fate. I want to be the captain of my own ship. I want to be the driver, not the passenger. And that's when all of that started happening, you know?
Yeah. And what would you recommend to people who are now employed and maybe they want to be an eagle like you?
Go for it. Depending what it is you want to do, go for it, because nothing's impossible. You know, if you want to trade, contact me, contact foreigners, let them put you in front of me. You know, if you want to open up a coffee shop, go for it. You know, nothing's impossible. I just think you've got to have a drive and you've got to have the right people behind you to do that. Mm-hmm. The worst thing, I think, is to have negative people around you. People that say, oh, you can't do that. I had that a lot. You can't do that. Look at the size of this building. How are you going to do that? You listen to them, you're going to stay where you are. So you've got to be very careful who you have around you.
They say that you're an average of 5 people you meet the most.
Yes, definitely, that's right. You know,
Beautiful. So about your job.
Yes.
Let's say, you don't go to the regular job, right? So you're not spending your time from 9 to 5 or something like this. So tell us your daily routine.
Well, tonight I'll be working from midnight
till
about 5 o'clock in the morning, and at 7:30, 8 o'clock, have my breakfast, I'll make my way to the gym, have a good workout, probably have a sauna as well, and then I would stop off at one of my favourite coffee shops in Vancouver and have my coffee and then make my way back.
And where is the sleep?
I usually have 3 hours sleep.
I don't even see these 3 hours in the sleep.
Yeah, sometimes. I might come back and put my head down for 3 hours. I think sleep is for wimps. You know, when you're chasing a passionate dream, that, you know, that doesn't really matter. I remember I was reading an article about Beyonce, and she was doing a concert of some sort. You know, it's supposed to be one of her big concerts, and she, you know, I think 3-4 days went by, and she realized she hadn't even eaten. She was so engrossed with getting this right, the passion, the love. And she wasn't starving, she didn't feel faint, but and I think that's something, when you're so involved with something, sleep, food, you know, that doesn't come into play, because the passion takes over. Eventually it catches up with you. You know, sometimes I put my head down, I sleep for the next 13 hours, you know, but it's very rare. So 3-4 hours, the body eventually adapts to it.
So you don't feel tired during the day?
Very rare. I think the exercise helps me with that a hell of a lot.
So I'm
fine during the day as well, yeah. Cool. I can always just sleep whenever I want.
That's very interesting. I can't imagine sleeping only 3-4 hours. And in my 6 to 8 hours,
I've had that with
7 to 8 is better. So, wow, good job. You look like a very positive person. I mean, you are. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you ever get bored?
No, I keep myself too busy.
Yeah? Is there any reason for this? Like, I mean, have you ever been bored?
How can you get bored when there's so many things to do? You know, there's a park, there's a gym, there's a sauna, there's a massage, there's your passion to follow. And then I write my blogs when I'm not working, so I write blogs on positivity. When I'm not doing that, I'm focusing on finishing off my biography based on my experience in life and what I've been through. And when I'm not doing that, I'm texting people from around the world, you know, to say, hey, how's this business going? Hey, you're supposed to get a new car for your chauffeur company, Leon. You know, how's that going? So I'm getting messages from all over the place, you know. So no, I never get bored. I think someone who's bored needs to sort their lives out. I mean, there's so much to do, isn't there?
Yeah, I agree.
There's so much to do.
Cool. And how is it with the family? Because this is some topic which we didn't...
I'm not very close to my family, personal reasons. But it's not something that I miss, because it happened, you know, all this again I'm writing about as well. So this happened, you know, at the age of 17, 18. So it's been a long time. I think I just live my life now, and the close people I have around me, they are family.
Mm-hmm.
They might not be in my presence. They might be in South Africa, London, Germany, Italy, whatever. But, you know, we communicate on a regular basis, on a daily basis.
Oh, nice.
And I have people every day, at least 50, 60 texts. I answer myself people wanting questions to answers, you know, how do you do this, how do you do that, I want to start this business, I want to get into training, that, you know, so a lot of people keep me busy, they're my family, they're the ones keeping me going.
Yeah, and yeah. How about women? you know, I would ask you.
That's something I suppose I neglect because I'm so running around doing what I'm doing, but I do meet them. I do meet them. But I'm very cautious in regards to women from past experiences. I suppose maybe that's why I just delve into my work and do what I'm doing. But I do meet them, yes.
Yeah. What is the ideal one? What is the...
I don't think there's an ideal woman.
For you, I mean, not in general.
No, it's not an ideal woman. I mean, to meet someone, that she doesn't have to be, you know, creme de la creme. She doesn't have to be living in a mansion, she doesn't have to have a top job. You know, for me, what's important is what's in the mind and what's in the heart. That's it. That's you know, you can't beat that, can you? You know.
Yeah.
So the mind and the heart. Does she smile? Has she got a good heart? Has she got a good brain? Can she have a conversation? Has she got personality? That's sufficient. Doesn't matter if she's doing a 9-to-5 or, you know, that's irrelevant.
Okay. Nice. Good. So I'm very curious if you'll meet some Czech girl and maybe you'll stay here.
No, no, no. I have met a few Czech girls. Yeah, very nice. I even train with a few of them now. So when I go to the gym, watching my training, they approach me, you know, I'd like to train with you.
It's a good place to meet your ideal.
Well, not necessarily, because you say ideal. I think the mistake people make is they believe that whoever they're with, they must have the same likes as them. And that's not the case. I think opposite attracts, you know. So to have someone as fit and healthy as me going to the gym, going on long runs, and to have someone else who's doing exactly the same thing, doesn't necessarily mean it's going to work out.
Mm-hmm.
I meet them, but I'm very cautious, and you know, I think very carefully before. I think when we last spoke up, you said to me, you mentioned women. I said to you, what I mean, I believe when someone's together, you give them the keys to everything. That's my philosophy. Now, some people might laugh and say, oh, is he crazy? But that's my philosophy. You know, there's no holds barred. You go all in. So I think very, very carefully when I meet people.
Okay, yeah. So I'm very curious about your next.
I will tell you. You're the first to know.
Tell me.
I'll send you a sandwich. I found someone.
Yeah, because I'm really supporting my friends. If I have some men who are not with anyone, I'm supporting them to find, you know, the right for them.
Never look.
Yeah.
Just enjoy life, and if it's gonna happen, it's gonna happen.
Yeah. Some of them are looking hard, some of them don't.
They're the ones that probably won't find anyone. They're looking too.
Let's see. But I wish them good luck.
Yeah.
So, do you ever feel you would like to settle down,
I was speaking to a friend earlier on during the day. I can't remember who it was now. Sure, I'm seeing so many people, I can't remember who it was now. And they said, you know, Rods, you know, where are you going to go to next? But that took some deep thought, and I thought to myself, because I have got a plan, I want to climb Kilimanjaro in East Africa.
Oh, wow.
I would like to do that by the end of the year.
End
of this year.
This year. Oh, wow.
Speaking to a friend in London, she's aware of it, her husband, her ex-husband, has climbed it. So I think that's one of my bigger aims that I'd love to do. Mm-hmm. And once I've done that, I think I would like to then say, okay, you know what? Where shall I just go and relax? Still do my work.
Yeah.
Just call this place home. And I've been... A few places have been mentioned to me. I've got one person who mentioned Slovenia.
Oh, wow.
I know someone in Krakow. There are a few places I can go. So I think it's just getting that East Africa out of the way, and then eventually I'll say, okay, it could be here, who knows?
Yeah.
You know, we'll see.
Wow.
We'll see.
Cool. So let's see. I'm very curious.
Mm. Yes.
And tell me, do you ever feel lonely because you're going around, you're meeting many people, but do you ever have this feeling?
No, not really. As I say, don't get me wrong, it's a lonely career being a trader.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Sitting in front of the screen watching lights flash up and down with different prices, and, you know, you're trying to capture one price and so on. But as I say, you know, I speak when I'm in the arena with 300 to 500 people, and they're all doing the same as me. Yeah. You know, the difference is they're all spread about different countries. So, no. I mean, the important thing is to keep yourself busy. So there's no time for loneliness. I mean, if I'm not trading, I'm writing. If I'm not writing, I'm at the gym. If I'm not at the gym, I'm at the coffee shop. If I'm not there, I'm meeting this girl or that guy for a drink or coffee. So, you know, sometimes I do go back, admittedly, and I do switch my phone off.
Oh, you do? Switch your phone off.
Yes. So sometimes I do go back, I'm at Dominic, I walk and I go, you know what? No. And I switch off. And I'll leave it off for hours. Because I know what's coming. And then when I do switch off, all right, okay. So, and then I'll start texting. So, no, there is no time for loneliness. No.
Mm.
I'm in touch and communicate with so many people.
Yeah.
Not just about business, but about their life. It's not about me. I hate talking about myself so much. I tend to... A lot of my friends know that, you know, they'll say, how are you? No, I'll just move away from that question. I want to focus on you. What are you doing? Where are you now?
Mm-hmm.
What have you done to change where you are? You know, that's what I am. And I get a buzz when I get good feedback.
Yeah, you know? That's cool. Okay. Was there any time when you cried? Because, you know, you are so positive. Was there any time that you really like?
Yeah, I wrote an article on that. On WordPress, for individuals that want to go out and do what they want to do, you know, follow their dream and their passion. And I said to them, you know, well, I didn't say I was writing it down, but if you read it, it says one thing I kept placing in there, you know, I was stating they shouldn't be afraid to put one foot forward and take that risk. And then my question in the sentence was, will it be hard? Yes. Will it be difficult? Yes. Will you curl up in a ball at night and cry? Yes. You know, that's part of it. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
The question is, how long will you stay there for? You know? And I do get down from time to time. Don't get me wrong. I'm not, you know, Superman. But I stay there for a few seconds and I'm out again. You know, it's how long you stay. Some people crash.
Well, it helps you to get out.
Of course. If I was constantly up, there'd be something seriously wrong with me. I should be in a padded cell. You know, and if I'm constantly down, I should be in a padded cell. It's having that balance, isn't it?
Yeah.
You've got to have that balance. And it's other people, I think, that wake me up on that. You know, I get my texts and say, Rods, come on, don't give up. Because I do think sometimes I just throw it in.
So is it people
that help you? As well, yeah, they inspire me. They inspire me to write. They inspire me to keep going. Without them, maybe I would be, I don't know, not doing anything, just dragging my feet.
Yeah.
So it's other people that inspire me, yeah.
Nice. Okay. You've already told me your next goal, so the main one now is to climb the Kilimanjaro in Africa.
Yeah, that's what I want.
Is there any other goal?
No, I've got no regrets. There's no other I can think of. Nothing else I want to do apart from the odd holiday, once I've found a place where I'm going to say this is my home.
Yeah.
When you've traveled to a lot of countries and you've met so many people, and, you know, I think the only other thing I'd like to complete is my biography, which I said I'm writing. So... That's nearly done.
Yeah, how much is missing?
No, it's actually completed. It's just tidying it up. So I'm going for cleaning it. That's what I was doing before I came here. So it's just cleaning it up, you know, grammar, punctuation marks, you know, and then getting it in book form. I've already got the cover, which a lot of people gave me feedback because, you know, I want to get them involved because irrelevant of how many people that are in my life, they will all be mentioned. First names, obviously, you know, because... Without them, I wouldn't have even bothered writing this. So, yeah, so they've been giving me feedback. Said, oh, I think this one. Oh, I think this one. I think this one should be the cover. You know, once I get to 100, I've had 93 so far. I think...
93 what?
Feedback to
feedback,
say.
Feedback, wow.
Yeah, so I put the covers. There's four to choose from, so I put them in categories. And two has got the most. So I think it's going to be out of two. Change is going to come. And sports, drugs, and violence.
Oh, okay.
So those two are leading out the other two. So, we'll see.
All right. Wow. Interesting. So you'll tell us after.
Definitely. Yeah. Once not for another year.
Good. Good.
Yeah.
And when we get back to your childhood, did you have any dreams? Who did you want to become?
No, but my mother at the time did take me to see a clairvoyant.
To see what?
A clairvoyant.
What is that?
Marie's. The
Pamela
Hens.
Yeah. So what did
I remember
he or
she
tell
and
you?
She, I remember her saying to me, you're going to travel the world.
Oh, really?
Like, really? Okay. Yeah.
Was that in Dominica? You know,
that was in London. Shepherd's Bush Market, if anyone knows it.
Oh,
yes,
really?
I kind of like just looked at my mother and thought, really? Okay. But yeah, I did do it.
But it happened, right?
Yeah, yeah, because I meet a lot of people. I'm like, yeah, okay.
Okay. Oh, that's so cool. Okay. You also told me that you used to be the champion in powerlifting, so you were famous, right? In the
I'm you're making me blush.
You were in the news.
I've done the newspaper bit, the TV bit, and so on. I mean, it was powerlifting was very big then.
Yeah.
It's died down a hell of a lot.
And powerlifting is it like this?
So you're doing like the squats. If anyone knows a squat, a bench press, and a deadlift. And we got paid for it at the time. It was very good by the Sports Council, which is now dissolved. It doesn't exist anymore.
And how was it to be famous?
Did you say famous? You know, actually,
getting
warm.
Well, you were in TV.
I wouldn't say that. I think it was a lot bigger sport in various countries like Russia, Moscow, Germany, Budapest, these places. We don't do powerlifting. We never entered the Olympics, but we did the World Games, if anyone heard of the World Games.
Uh-huh.
So it's bigger than the World Games. But as I said, that was a time which put me in my mind on the right mindset for what was to come in business, in traveling, in meeting people, in being a bit of an extrovert. Because if I think of a lot of the other lifters, they're just like me.
Yeah,
they go out there and they speak to people. You know, they're brass. They're in your face. Wow. You know, and we were all young at that time. So at 16, 17, you know, when you start traveling around in the British team, you know, you eventually come out of yourself.
Yeah,
you have to.
And what are their careers now?
A lot of them are self-employed.
Oh, so
Roofers, chauffeur drivers. One girl, she owns. How do you say, for elderly people who retire?
Okay, like the house.
Like a care home.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so a lot of people are self-employed. And I think, as I said, that came from the discipline of training.
Yeah. That's very interesting. Yeah, well. And tell me, we discussed also this very important topic nowadays. You already a little bit said something about it. What money mean to you?
Money is a foreign language without the subtitles.
That's interesting.
Not a lot of people understand money. Money is a means to an end, isn't it? Means to an end. You get it, you can buy this with it, you can buy that with it, and that's about it. But to truly understand it, I think for me, it's about, if I can, and I have done in the past, it's about helping others.
Mm-hmm.
And I have helped others, you know. I was going to mention a name I won, but I think personally she's one of the best, or is becoming one of the best opera singers, soon to be Europe. Her name is Sophie Gallagher, and I met her in a health club when I was in London. She was just finishing her studies to become an opera singer, and she was finding it difficult. You know, things are tough, you know, when you're finishing university, etc. And, you know, I did what I can to help her. And now she travels around Europe, touring as an opera singer.
Oh.
And soon to be one of the best. So if anyone wants to look up Sophie Gallagher, look up Sophie Gallagher. She's a wonderful opera singer.
Is she from London?
She is, yes, okay. Yeah. So if I can, I try and help people with what I have. Because I believe it's not what you have, it's what you do with what you have.
Yeah. Did you support, or do you support some organizations, or you rather support?
No, I think it's a case of
persons.
Me bumping into people, the amount of people I bump into, once I get to know them, I get a feel of them. If I get a hint that they're positive and they want to do something, it's not going to cost them millions. It might cost them £500. They're short of £500 to get a little bit of stock. One person I met, she needed, you know, to buy some stock to get an online beauty thing going. You know, so I gave her £600. I don't want it back. It's not a loan. It's a gift. Go and do what you've got to do. That's my attitude.
Mm-hmm.
And some might say, yeah, but Rod, you know, you're still climbing and doing what you're doing. Why do you do that? Well, again, it's not what you have. It's what you do with what you have. The buzz to know that I've helped someone on their way, however much, however high or low, that's the biggest buzz I think anyone can get. That's the biggest buzz for me.
Yeah, and do the people usually
use it.
Yeah.
Some take advantage of it.
Yeah.
But I still wish them good luck.
Yeah.
You know, because the more I do that, the more comes to me. the more flows my way. And I've learned that as well. So yeah, I think with money, respect it, but it's not what you have. You know, I had the Bentleys and the Rolls Royces.
What did you have?
The Bentleys and the Rolls Royces. Growing up, you've got the businesses. And lots of people are aware of that, but as time went by, and as you get older, you think, well, what have I got this for? And that's another thing people get mistaken with. What's a liability and what's an asset? You know, that driving that big 6.8 litre engine was definitely a liability, even though you could afford it. I mean, you have to start thinking sensibly, but I think that only happens as you get older and, you know. So, yeah, money, appreciate it, and if you can, share it, if possible.
Yeah. And did you have some friends that you, like, kind of had to change because you went to the other path of not...
I wouldn't say I had to change them.
I mean, that you were not friends anymore after, because you said, okay, I don't want to...
I had to leave them behind.
Yeah, that's what I mean, yeah.
Yeah, I had to leave them behind. And unfortunately, to get to a goal or ambition, that's what you've got to do. You know, you've got to have nerves of steel when someone is not doing anything and you want to get there. You've got to go, you've got to walk. Otherwise, you're just going to stay there with them. You know, it's like a swirl of dirty water. I mean, come on, get out, move, you know. But, yeah, there's lots of people I've left like that in the past. And there's lots of them still in that same place. You know, especially when I visit London, I go back to the old area I was brought up in, and I see them doing exactly the same thing. They've got the exact same excuse. They've got the exact same story. These are the naysayers that individuals need to get away from.
Yeah.
You know, it's very, very important. You know, and at first it's going to be lonely, but you will bump into others just like you, who have dreams like you, who have passion, who have drive, and they're the ones you keep really close. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I agree. All right. And tell me, who is the person, or maybe you have more people, that influenced you the most in your life? Or do you have any, or did you have any role models?
Anyone who suffered with fear and came out of it on the other side, I admire them. So it doesn't have to be the model of society today, where you have the superstars and the models, etc., etc. They're not necessarily who I look up to. It could be that person on the street who started with zero but managed to open up the gas station. That's my role model. Mm-hmm. It could be one of the girls or the guys at Domek who, you know, after studying so hard, they finally got through that hard exam. I got a text from one of them saying, oh, I've got this really hard exam coming up, you know. And next time I see her, I'm going to say, how did you do it? And she said, I passed it. That's my role model. You know, she doesn't have to be in a glossy magazine. She doesn't have to be on TV. You know, it could be the everyday person on the street. And that's the role model for me. Mm. You show me you got the guts. You show me you can do it. You're my role model. You know.
Beautiful. And you're very happy that maybe you helped a little bit. Support, like
Tesco, every little helps.
I think we don't have this claim in
We got it in London. Yes.
All right. We have these Facebook questions here.
Mm-hmm.
Two of them. Gabor Chabot. He's asking, because we have some picture of you, what kind of shoes do you have on that picture?
Well, I can't remember the name of it, but I can say it's from Italy. And I got them to go with my gold cards. But yeah, I'm going to send Anthony the name of the shoes.
Yeah, and we will post it there. We promise. All right. So did you buy them in Italy?
I got someone in Italy to send them over to
bring. All right. And then we have a question from Jeff Povey. Rodney must be related to Johnson Hippolyte, the well-known non-league football manager in the UK. Please ask him. So I'm asking you.
Unfortunately not, no.
No.
No relation.
No relation?
No.
All right. But you know this guy?
I know who he's talking about, yes.
Yeah? Okay, he's somebody famous, right?
Yes.
So you see?
Yes.
I'm telling you.
Just the same. That's all it is. Just the same.
All right. Okay, guys. So I guess we don't have any more questions. I have one last question, mm-hmm. if you can kind of summarize. Because you've already... Usually when I have these talks, people and me, I can feel it. What the answers are, but if you have to can say it, what are your life values?
Integrity. Period.
that was it. So thank you guys that you were with us. I hope you enjoyed as much as I did. Thank you, Rodney, for coming.
And thanks for inviting me again, Anika.
Yeah. And see you next time. Bye.
Thanks that you listened. If you are an expat in the Czech Republic who would like to be interviewed and share your story with other people, contact us. We are looking forward to meeting you in the next podcast. Have a great time.